so excited to be able to be here today. And for those of you who are wondering why my shirt is wet, we have baptisms and our other locations and services today. So that's why I look like this. It will dry up as the day goes on, hopefully. But today we've got a really cool morning. As a matter of fact, the service I just walked out of, we did something for the very first time because for those of you who've been with us, you know that we've been walking through this conversation called Life Coach. But today we're going to put that on pause because we want to take a second to be able to look forward to the fall. And this morning we did something that we've never done before because we wanted to be able to kind of share this story, all of us being on exactly the same page. And so our very first service we recorded and is now being shown in Hamilton. And so today we have video venue for the very first time at Hoboken Grace. And so that was very nerve-wracking, I'll be honest with you, coming out of that first service. And so it's just nice to be able to be here and relax, and we just get to enjoy this service together. For those of you who are with us for the first time, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Chris, and I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And the reason that we take this pause right now is because there are two times a year where we have the greatest opportunity to be able to introduce people to this journey of following Christ. And that's in January and then also in September. And we find that as we're interacting with our community, there are more people who are willing to be able to begin that journey at those two times a year. It's kind of built into us. That's when we go back to school. And so it's kind of built into us that we start new things around those times. And so therefore, we try to take advantage as we move into those times of the year and make sure that we're prepared for what God might do or how God could use us. And so what I want to do today is I want to take a second to be able to look forward to that. And also, when we do this, we also like to be able to look back as well, just to remember what God's done and just the amazing ways that God's worked inside of our community and inside of our family up to this point in the year. And so just to get us started, I just want to look back for a second and just celebrate some of the things that God's done. And some of these things we've celebrated at different times throughout the year, but I want us to remember them again. And then some of them are brand new. And I'll start off with just the number of people that God's given us the opportunity to impact, specifically those who for the very first time are experiencing who God is and we're being able to share this message of God with for the very first time. Over the course of the year, since we began in January until this past week, we have had over 360 first-time guests walk into our spaces at Hoboken Grace. That's amazing. Yeah, that's over 360 people. And that's just the individuals who filled out connection cards. We're talking about over 360 people that we've been able to, for the very first time, share this message of who Jesus Christ is with. And they get to hear these stories and not just hear from me, but then to hear from those of you who are telling your stories about how God is pursuing them and beginning to plant this seed and the beauty of a God who is not waiting for us to come to Him, but is coming for us. It's amazing. We've got so many different things to celebrate. We've been celebrating it throughout the year, but I want to remind us of it again. This past year, we were able to launch Amplify for the very first time. And then as we go through this fall, we're actually going to have our second Amplify of the year in October. And we haven't officially announced it yet, but in October, we have our second Amplify coming. And as we open up and close Amplify, we have a special speaker who's going to be coming in. And when we were as a staff down at the Exponential Conference this past year, we heard an individual named Hugh Halter speak. He wrote a book called Flesh. It's an amazing book, and he did just an amazing job of igniting in us as a staff a passion for what God wanted to do through us. And so we went into this year and just began to dream about having him be a part of this event. And about 2 weeks ago, he agreed. And so on October 18th, he's going to be here, not only for Amplify, but then on October 19th, he's going to be speaking in all of our services as well, which is a huge, huge celebration and seeing how God is moving us forward in our ability to be able to help people take first steps into this journey, and then also helping people continue on this journey of finding their way back to God and understanding how they can experience Him more and more and more. One of the things that we're celebrating as a staff is that for the very first time in our church history, we have approximately 80% of our adult attenders are inside a community and inside of dinner groups and sharing life with one another in some way, shape, or form. Now, I don't know if you realize how amazing this is. Nationally, the average is right around 30 to 35% with churches who do groups. And so to be able to see how God is allowing us to be able to get people plugged into those small groups and as Nick was talking about, just the importance of community and supporting one another, walking through life together, helping one another, encouraging one another. It's beautiful to see that. We have over 350 people who are actively attending groups here at Hoboken Grace. That's not just people who at some point have signed up. That's people who are actively attending a group inside of community. That's amazing. We have over 250 people who are active in service. That's approximately 60% of our adult attendees. 250 people who are giving of themselves in some way, shape, or form to serve inside of our church or outside of our church in what we're doing throughout the week together, what we're doing throughout the week throughout our city and along this waterfront. It's amazing. One of the things that I was most excited about as I was looking back at what God's done and where we are is that currently we have 98 active leaders inside of our church. That's 98 people who are using their influence in some way, shape, or form to impact the people around them toward Christ. That's amazing. And that one, I'll be honest with you, gets me probably the most excited because I love reproducing leaders. And I love the fact that even though we live in an area of the country where everything is about, you know, being a professional inside of our church, we haven't bought into the lie that you have to be a professional to make an impact for Christ. And that we're seeing leaders come up and as a church, we believe that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are, that you've been gifted and that God wants to use you to impact those around you. That's amazing. And then today we have three baptisms taking place across our services, which is going to bring us to the point. And this is just, what an incredible celebration. As of this afternoon, we will have had 41 baptisms in 34 weeks here at Hoboken Grace. 41. And last night, I was looking at it, and I was like, okay, we'll have 41. And then I thought to myself, well, how many weeks have we had in the year? And so I looked it up. It's been 34 weeks in this year. That's over one person being baptized a week inside of our family. That's awesome. We have so many different things to celebrate. This next one, you may not understand why it's important, but I'll tell you a story that just actually happened yesterday that helps you understand why it is. Currently, we have over 1,400 Facebook fans and we have 929 Twitter followers. Now I know you're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Let me just give you an example. It happened yesterday, because yesterday we had the opportunity to be a part of the music festival here inside of Hoboken. And as we were setting up our booth and getting it ready, and I'll tell you more about it in a little bit here, but as we were setting it up, we actually had another vendor come over. And he came over and he had some water bottles for us. He said, here, I just want to give these to you guys. He said, I don't attend Hoboken Grace. He said, but I follow you on Twitter and I love what you do in our city. And it's just amazing. It's just another way that God is connecting us to those around us in order to be able to share the story of what God's doing and what God's about. And so as we go through the day, I kind of have this weird goal, okay? Because I think that this is becoming more and more important inside of our culture, that we're connecting to those around us in this way. And so here's my goal today. My goal today is that we would go through 1,500 Facebook likes, And that we would get to 1,000 Twitter followers, okay? Which I need your help with. Now, I know this is going to be a little bit awkward, but it is what it is. All right. So here's what I want you to do. If you do not currently follow us on Twitter, I want you to take out your phone. And we're at Hoboken Grace, okay? It's really simple. Just at Hoboken Grace. Go ahead, take out your phones. Go ahead, take them out. I know you're like, oh, you're going to do this in a church service? If you're asking that question, you haven't been around Hoboken Grace for very long, okay? Like, you should expect these things to happen by now, all right? So take out your phone, at Hoboken Grace. Our goal is to get to 1,000 by the end of the day. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with the number on a screen or anything like that. It has to do with connecting to one another and then also connecting to the world around us and the way that God's using this. I remember it was a couple months ago, I walked in to get my hair cut, and I hadn't been to this place before, and I was being, a little bit adventurous. So I sat down and I'm explaining how I want my hair cut. And then of course they always want to have a conversation with you. Have you noticed this? I don't know why. I don't want to talk. I just want to sit here and you can do your thing. But they always they just keep asking questions. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll talk to you. So, but as they were asking me, well, what do you do? And I'm telling them what I do. And it's always a little bit awkward, right? It's always awkward when you tell someone you're a pastor because they just cursed like 18 times as they're in the conversation. Then you're like, oh, you know, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care, okay? Like, please don't change your conversation because you know what I do now. I don't care. But you know, they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm a pastor. I'm part of this church called Hoboken Grace here in our city. And the person who's at the desk, they're like, oh, we follow you. I love what you're doing over here. And they mentioned something that we were doing that next weekend. And it's just amazing. It's amazing the opportunities that we have because of the fact that we're connected in this way. And so for us, it's a meaningful thing. It's something to celebrate how God's allowed us to be connected to more and more people in these different ways. And so we're celebrating that as we go into today. And then when you begin to look at the impact that we've had in our community, I don't think we've ever impacted our community in a more powerful way than we have as we've moved through this year. Not only have we seen our largest events in history, but we also were able to launch into Jersey City with One Day Jersey City, and we've been celebrating that. But then also our Easter egg hunt was the biggest that it's ever been. We're able to serve more people than ever before. And then yesterday with One Day, man, how many of you guys were at One Day? That's just awesome, right? Like, let's just celebrate. We had over 200 people serving in our city yesterday, carrying out 18 different projects. One of them is that see how nice this stage looks? It's all nice and clean and nice and black here. We painted this yesterday, and I was really nervous, and I trusted Anthony. I said, Anthony, you sure that stage is going to be dry by tomorrow? He's like, oh, it's dry paint. I was like, dry paint? What is dry paint? But he promised me, and he was right. I didn't know if we're going to be sticking to this stage as we were walking around today or what. But one of the really unique things about that is yesterday, this was the very first thing that we've been able to do inside of Hoboken Schools. That's a huge relationship to begin to build. And for the very first time, we were able to serve inside the school system. Yesterday, we were invited to be a part of the HMAG event. This is unbelievable. And because of the fact that individuals who are part of our family have connections there, they opened the door for us to be able to come in, and we set up a charging station for people to be able to recharge their cell phones as they're part of the music festival yesterday. It was awesome. And just another way that we're able to move into our community and serve and just show people, listen, not only does God care about you, we care about you. And it's amazing how God is using this inside of our community. And several times throughout the year, there have been events where not only have we been able to go, but we've actually been invited to the event. We didn't ask if we could go. They called us and said, hey, listen, we know that you like to do things, in and through the city, so we're doing this thing. Would you want to be a part of this? We're like, yeah, we'd love to be a part of that. We'd love to be able to serve that way. You know, when we first started Hoboken Grace, we set out with this mission of operating inside of our city in such a way that when people heard the name of Jesus Christ, they would smile. Because they've been loved by someone who loves Jesus Christ. That's beginning to become a reality. And God has been opening doors, and God has been using us in a way in which people are beginning to associate Jesus Christ and his church with love. And let me tell you something. That's a big deal. Because Jesus Christ and his church have been associated with a lot of things, especially in our culture. But unfortunately, it hasn't often been love. That's huge. What an amazing celebration that we get to impact our community in this way. And yesterday was awesome. The projects were awesome. We had one group that was taking down trees. I don't know how we got permission to do this. But apparently there are some trees in the city that are dead. And at first, when we heard about the project, we thought they were going to come in and like tear out the roots of old dead trees that were just, you know, that had been cut off, but they're just taking the roots out. That makes sense. No, the tree's still there. And they did a couple trees. They're like, you know, 12 footers. They're decently tall, but not that big. But then they bring them to this tree and it's 25 feet tall. No lie. Right? And the one guy who's a part of the parks department said, you know, I don't think we should do this one. But then he was with a team of people from Goldman Sachs, which, you know, them, they think they can do anything. And so. And so they said, no, we're taking this sucker down. They dug that tree out and dropped it into the street. No kidding. I ran into the communications director for the city yesterday after it was over on the sidewalk, actually just right over here. And we were talking about the event. The city was so excited about it. And it's, you know how amazing it is that I'm able to meet the city communications director on the sidewalk. If, for him to be able to say, listen, we really appreciate what you guys are doing. Do you understand how big that is? That's huge. And we were talking about what happened, and I was telling him about the tree thing. And he's like, so was there a cop there? I was like, no, dude, they just did it. He was getting more and more nervous about what actually happened throughout the day. And like, okay, is everyone safe? And it was amazing. I mean, truly amazing how God is allowing us to impact our city and to display him inside of our city. And the mission of helping people find their way back to God is advancing like never before. Like never before. And not just locally, but then you look at what we've been able to do throughout the world, and not just through our missions teams that are going to so many different countries. But then also when you look at those who've come out from within our family to be able to serve overseas. And if you've been reading through our newsletters and our weekly emails, you'll see that we've been sending people like Drew and Brian and Dario just got back. But these individuals who are part of our family who are going out to be able to serve in amazing ways all throughout the world. And sometimes when that happens, it can be difficult because you see someone go that you're close to, but it has everything to do with perspective. And so much of what we're doing has to do with perspective. So much of life has to do with perspective. But when you see those people go out, you know, sometimes it can be a little difficult, but then you begin to understand that, no, this isn't just about what's happening here. This is about what's happening around the world. This isn't just about what's happening inside of our family, but this is about God's larger family and the kingdom and what he's doing and how God's using us in all these unique and amazing ways. It has everything to do with perspective. And today, as we look back on what's happened and as we look forward to the fall, I want to talk to you for a moment specifically about that idea of perspective. Because I think that it's so crucially important that we have the right perspective as we move into the fall. Because this fall, we're going to talk about some amazing things that I think God wants to do through us. And I'm going to challenge you in some powerful ways of how God wants to use you inside of our city to take what we've been talking about here to an entirely new level. But if we don't walk into it with the right perspective, I'm worried that we'll miss it. And so I want to talk to you for a moment about perspective. And I want to take it to a passage that I hope will encourage you, but then also challenge us at the same time. so that we can walk into this fall ready for what God wants to do. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in Numbers chapter 13, and I want to give you a little bit of context to it before we get into it, because I think it's important that you understand the surrounding story for you to see what's happening here. In Numbers chapter 13, the nation of Israel is just about to enter into the promised land. They're just about to cross over into this land that God has promised them. And for generations, God has told them, listen, you're going to have this land, and it's bountiful. It's literally flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful, and I'm going to give this land to you. For generations, they've been told this by God. For generations, they've been telling this to their children. Listen, this is what God's going to do. This is what God's going to do. This is what God's going to do. And then finally, they've been led out of slavery in Egypt. They've come to the edge of the promised land. And they're just about to move in to take it. And as they're just about to move in to take it, God comes to Moses and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send 12 spies into the land to be able to see what I'm about to give you. For you to be able to celebrate what I'm about to do for you. And that's where we pick up the story in Numbers chapter 13. It says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. And so Moses sends them out. And in the next couple of verses, if you're following along on your Bible there, it gives their names. We don't have time to be able to read through all their names, and I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce them correctly. Anyway, so we're going to skip over that. And he sends these guys out. It says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country and see what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? And he's talking them through. He's like, here's what I want you to do, guys. You go into this land. I just want you to go and explore all of it and see, okay, what is it that God is about to bring us into? And so they do. As they're going through the land, a couple of verses later, it says, when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them among some pomegranates and figs. They begin to move through this land, and what they find as they move into it is that it's just as bountiful as they thought. As a matter of fact, it gives us this picture where they come to this cluster of grapes and they cut it off. It's so big that it takes two of them. They have to run this pole through it. It takes two of them to carry it back. It's just amazing. Everything that God promised. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, where they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. So they gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And so they begin to give the report back. And the 12 of them come back to Moses and they say, listen, we went in and we explored it and it's amazing. It's everything that we thought it would be. It's literally flowing with milk and honey. Look at the fruit. And they brought these grapes back. They're like, you wouldn't believe how beautiful it is. It says, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So they come back and they say, it's everything that we thought it would be. But at the same time, the people are strong. And the cities are walled. As a matter of fact, there's even descendants of Anak living there. And the descendants of Anak were giants. They were like 9 feet tall. And as they continue through the story, there's one individual who stands up. He says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. The nation of Israel is on the brink of walking into everything that God has promised them. And God says, I just want you to send out 12 to be able to see what I'm about to give you. And they come back, and it's interesting because here you hear from one, but there's actually two who come back and believe, listen, let's go. Look at what's ahead of us. I can't believe it, what God's about to give us. It's so beautiful. Let's go. But then there are 10. There are 10 who, based on what they've seen, come back in a very different mentality. And rather than it being, look at what God's about to give us, they come back and they say to Moses and they say to the nation of Israel, we can't do it. Look at how big they are. Look at how strong their cities are. There's no way we'll begin to do it. And as the story continues, the 10 go through the people and they begin to spread this idea that if they were to even think about moving into the land, they would be destroyed by it, that they would be devoured by it. And in the end, the two who were like, look at what God's about to do, are outnumbered by those who don't believe that they can actually do what God's promised them they could do. And the nation of Israel decides that rather than following God into the promised land, that they're going to begin to complain and that they're going to do it their own way. It's a crazy story. It's a crazy story. God led them all the way to the edge, and as they get to the edge, they're just about there. And you see these 12 go in, and you see them come back, and there's 10 who say there's no way, and 2 that say, no, God, we can do this. God's going to do this. 2 very different responses to the very same thing. They all saw the same thing. They all encountered the same thing. They all encountered the same cities and the same people, the same obstacles. But they came back with 2 very different mentalities. And it has everything to do with perspective. It has everything to do with perspective. You see, for Joshua and Caleb, their perspective had been shaped by what they'd experienced of God. And as you read back through the story of the nation of Israel, you see at several points throughout their story, how Joshua and Caleb have been exposed to just the amazing nature of who God is and what God could do and how God could use them. And so as they came to this point, although the circumstances were unbelievably overwhelming, they didn't allow the circumstances to destroy them. They didn't allow the circumstances to actually overwhelm them. But the 10 come back, and even though they've experienced the same thing of God in the past, they look at the circumstances, and rather than believing that God can do what he said that he can do, they become completely overwhelmed by it. Which, at first, it's easy to look at and say, well, what's wrong with them? How could they possibly do that? I mean, God led them all the way here. How could they possibly stop following at this point? But the truth is that what they were up against was huge. And the truth is that what
God said that he was going to do as they moved to this promised land. They had never seen him do that before. They had seen him do other things before, and there's been battles that he had won, but they'd never seen him work that powerfully before. And so they became overwhelmed. And for every single one of us, the journey that we're on, and as God is moving us through this story, at some point in life, life is going to try to overwhelm you. And at some point in life, there's going to be a call or there's going to be a moment where life is going to try to overwhelm you. Where life is going to try to use the circumstances that surround you to determine your direction. And it may not, you may not be in that moment right now. You may be in a moment where you feel like you have control. You may be in a moment where you feel like you know what's coming next and everything's going the way that you planned. But for every single one of us, there comes a moment, a phone call, a situation, where all of that changes. And when it does, life is going to do its best to overwhelm you. I remember the first time that this happened to me growing up. I lived in Alabama, but then all of my family lived in Michigan, and they lived on this farm, and I spent the first several years of my life on the farm, but then my family moved to Alabama, and so the way that it worked for me is that in the summers, my family would send me back to Michigan to be able to work on the farm for the summer, and then I'd come back to Alabama. It was, to be honest with you, it's pretty much a perfect life as far as weather is concerned. Okay, I mean, people pay millions of dollars to do this. I spent my winters in Alabama and my summers in Michigan. I had perfect weather all year round. It was beautiful, seriously. But what would happen is that every summer I'd go back to Michigan and I'd work with my uncle. And I was very close with my uncle growing up, my Uncle Dale. He's a phenomenal person. I love being around him. He kind of became my second dad. And for several summers in a row, we worked together basically every hour of every day. We became unbelievably close. And I remember going into my junior year of high school, I was so excited because I was about 2 weeks away from going back to Michigan, and I was going to be spending the summer again with my uncle, and I was looking forward to it. I could not wait. And then one afternoon, my dad walked into my room. My uncle had been working on a truck that had broken down, and we had these giant feed trucks, basically like army trucks, and it had broken down, and so they needed to haul it back to the house. And so he had a tractor, and he was hooking up the truck to the tractor, and as he was hooking it up, the truck began to roll forward, and it crushed him between the truck and the tractor. He died instantly. He was younger than I am today. Two little kids. At some point, the call is going to come, and life is going to try to overwhelm you. A couple years ago, when I was at the hospital right down the street here, my second son was born. They walked into the hospital room that night. 2 a.m. So we think your son has Down syndrome. At some point, life is going to try to overwhelm you. And all of a sudden, that belief that you had that you were in control, that you had it together, that you knew how the story was going to go, is going to disappear. And the circumstances of life are going to try to overwhelm you. Most of us have experienced it. Many of us have experienced it multiple times. And life is going to try to use the circumstances that surround you to dictate your direction. Those 10 walked into the land that God had promised them, and life overwhelmed them. And life began to use the circumstances that surrounded them to dictate their direction. And so rather than trusting God and what God has said that he was going to do, they decided to walk away. And as a result of it, not only do they never experience the promised land, because as the story continues, the truth is that the nation of Israel decides, no, we're not going to follow you, God. And so God says, fine, then you can die in the desert. And every individual in the entire nation over the age of 20, when those spies entered the land, dies in the desert. They walked into that promised land, and life began to use the circumstances and the things that surrounded them to overwhelm them and change their direction. As a result of it, not only did it destroy their life, not only did it destroy the lives of their family, it destroyed the lives of their entire nation. In every single one of our lives, there's going to come a point where life is going to try to overwhelm you. And the truth is that life tried to do the very same thing to Joshua and to Caleb. Life tried to use the very same circumstances. They all saw the same things. And it's interesting. I love it in the passage because when Caleb steps up in the passage to speak, he doesn't say, hey, listen, what those guys said isn't true. The people are weak, or the cities are weak, or this is going to be easy. He doesn't step up and say, no, they're giving a false report. He understands that what they're saying is true. He says, listen, yeah, what they said is true, but the truth is that we can overcome it. And God will give it to us. And the question that I think we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that allowed these 10 to be overwhelmed by life? And what is it that kept these 2 from being overwhelmed by life? And I think that what you see, both in this very moment, but then also throughout their story, as you look at the story of Joshua and Caleb, and I'll tell you a little bit more about how the story ends in a little bit. But as you look at their story, one of the things that you see is that Joshua and Caleb had been so overwhelmed by God that it was not possible for life to overwhelm them. And in your life, every single one of us, in your life, you will either be overwhelmed by God or you will be overwhelmed by life. You will either be overwhelmed by God or you will be overwhelmed by life. And Joshua and Caleb, as they looked at what God was calling them into, they understood how big the obstacles were, but they had been so overwhelmed by God that there was no way, there was nothing that they could come up against that would keep them from following God wherever he asked them to go. When you become overwhelmed by God, it's not that you're not afraid. It's not that you don't understand how big the obstacles are. It's that fear doesn't have the power that it used to have. It's not that you don't experience fear. I want to be clear about that. It's not that you in some way, shape, or form just see everything as rosy. And it's not that, no. Caleb understood what they were up against. He knew. It's not that there's no fear. It's that fear loses its power to dictate your direction. You see, that for the 10, they become overwhelmed by life and the circumstances, and all of a sudden the fear begins to dictate their direction. And their fear begins to tell them what they're going to do and whether they can or can't do what God's asked them to do. And you become overwhelmed by God, fear begins to lose its power And so no matter whether Caleb or Joshua were afraid or not, they believed that God could do what God said he would do. And so they say to the nation, we can take it. You say, well, how do you get there? How do we get to that place where we're overwhelmed by God in this way that life can no longer overwhelm us? And the truth is that there's really only one way to get there. And I wish that I could tell you that there was another way, but the truth is, as you look through the scriptures, there's one way. You see it over and over and over and over again in those who've become overwhelmed by God. There's one thing that you see over and over again in their story, and that is this. They are willing to step out in faith, even when they are afraid. They are willing to act as if God is true, even when there are doubts. I think for a lot of us, we want to be able to experience what it's like to be able to live this life with God that's powerful, this life with God that's full, this life that we read about as we read through the scriptures and we see others living this life with him, and we want to live that. You hear the story of David and Goliath and how David conquers this giant, and you read that story and you're like, man, I want to be able to live that. I want to be courageous. I want to be the man God called me to be. I want to be the husband God called me to be. I want to be the father God called me to be. I want to be able to live with integrity and honor. I want to be able to move into this mission with everything that I have. We want to conquer the giants. But here's the thing. In order to conquer the giants, you have to walk down into the valley when you're not sure of what's going to happen next. When you're terrified, but you believe that God is going to do what God has said he's going to do. I think for a lot of us, we would love to walk down in the valley as long as the giant was dead first. And that's usually how my conversation with God works. God's like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to step out in faith. And I'm like, how about you do your part first, and then I'll do my part. Because we want to move forward in faith that's based on experience. And so we want to move forward because we see that, okay, God did what he said he's going to do. Now I'm going to do what I said I would do, or what he's asked me to do. But the unique thing about moving forward in experienced faith is that it always begins in moving forward in promised faith. And what I mean by that is this. You see it in the life of Caleb, as a matter of fact. Because in this moment, Caleb has never seen God do what God says he's going to do. He's never seen it, but he goes to the nation of Israel and he says, listen, I believe God's going to do this and we can move into it and we can take it. He's moving forward in faith that's based on God's promise. He's moving forward in faith that's based on promised power. And God says, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. It's going to be amazing. Wait till you see it. I'm going to give you this land. He's moving forward in faith that's based on promised power. At the end of Caleb's journey, Caleb is living a life that's based on experienced power. Which is, I think, where we all want to be. Where we've seen God work in amazing and powerful ways. But in order for that to become a reality, he had to move first in faith based on promised power. So he says, okay, I've never seen you do this, but I believe that you can do it. And so I'm going to call the nation of Israel to it. Because he does that, Joshua and Caleb, because of the fact that they do that, they're the only two individuals from the entire nation who do not die in the desert over the age of 20.
And as you read through the story, Joshua and Caleb actually lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And God does exactly what he said he was going to do. And I love the story of Caleb. He's one of my favorite characters in all the scripture. That's why my first two kids are named names that are actually come off of the name Caleb. Right? I love his story because he comes into this promised land. When he gets to the promised land, he's 80 years old. And he goes to Joshua. And this is what he says to Joshua. He says, Joshua, you remember that hill country? You remember the hill country where the giants lived, where the people lived that scared the nation of Israel away from coming in the first time? He says, that's mine. I want that battle. I want to fight the battle that everybody said we couldn't win. And he does. And he wins. And you come to the end of the story, and God, Caleb has seen God do such amazing things. He has a faith in God that's not just based on what God said he was going to do, but he has a faith in God that's based on the fact that he's seen God move over and over and over and over again in ways that would blow your mind. Caleb ends his journey with the ability to be able to speak to the people around him and with confidence and without any hesitation to be able to talk to them about the power of God because he'd experienced it. But the reason that he experienced it is because he first moved forward based on the promise. As we've moved through this year, God has challenged us in all sorts of unique ways about how he wants to use us and about this story that we're in the midst of and how we can be part of that. And as we go into this fall, I believe that he wants to take it to an entirely new level of just our complete surrender to his mission and to what he wants to do inside of our community and inside of our cities. But as he does that, and maybe it's already happened to you this year, maybe already this year, he's beginning to call you forward into things, and you're looking at the circumstances, and you're like, I can't do that because the circumstances are too big. And you've allowed the circumstances of your life to overwhelm you and to actually dictate your direction. And so rather than following God, you have moved away from him, or you've said no to him. Because the circumstances are dictating the direction instead of what he's asked you to do. And maybe for you it's already happened and God's calling you maybe to have a conversation with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker, or maybe God's calling you to get involved in something. Maybe God's calling you to start something, or God's calling you to love people in a specific way. But rather than saying yes, you've allowed life to overwhelm you and to dictate your direction, and therefore you're living your life in the desert. I don't know if it's already happened to you in this year or if it's going to happen to you as you go into the fall, but God in our lives is going to continue to move us forward in advancing the mission of helping people find their way back to God. And as he does, it's going to mean that we are going to have to walk into circumstances that are overwhelming. And we will either be overwhelmed by those circumstances or we will be overwhelmed by God and what God has done. And we look at these celebrations. The truth is that all of us have enough in our past to be able to be overwhelmed by God in such a way that nothing else will overwhelm us as we move forward. But we often forget. As God moves us forward, he's going to push us to become more and more surrendered to him, to give more and more of ourselves to his mission, to live with a sole mission and purpose and focus. He's going to take more of you overseas. He's going to take more of you and ask you to step into leadership. He's going to challenge you to have conversations with people about who he is that you aren't comfortable with, and that you don't know how it's going to go.
And you can either allow yourself to be overwhelmed by those circumstances, or you can look back on what God has done for you. The beauty of His Son on the cross. You look back on the stories of what God's done in our family. And allow yourself to be overwhelmed by Him. So that although you may be afraid as you take this step, your fear will not control you. I believe that we are just at the beginning of seeing and tasting what God wants to do inside of our city. I believe that God has brought us together in this place, in this time, because He wants to do something amazing. I was having a conversation with Him about a month ago as we were working through this, and He took me to this passage. And He began to challenge me of whether I actually believed that He wanted to do something amazing inside of our city. If I actually believed that He wanted to not just generally help people find their way back to Him along the waterfront, but if I actually believed that He wanted to use us in a way to bring every single person back to Him. Whether I actually believed that He had the power that He demonstrates in His Word, the power that we've been talking about throughout the year, this promise that He would send His Spirit and that the Spirit of God lives in us and that we have the power to change the world around us. See, I believe that God has put us here at this place in this time because He wants to do something amazing through us. Something powerful through us. I believe that He's given us this city, not in a challenge way, but that He is fighting in this city to bring people back to Him. And He is calling us to take advantage of that and to be part of that with Him. As we're in the midst of that conversation, He challenged me with something that I want to challenge you with as we go through the next 2 weeks. It was about 1:30 in the morning. And I'm in the midst of this conversation, and as I'm praying, He said, I want you to get up and I want you to walk around your city. And if you know the story of Joshua and Caleb, you know that eventually when they do enter the promised land, the first city that they come to is Jericho, and they march around that city. And this is the way God tells them to do it. He says, "This, just so you know, it's me and not you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in the promised land. I want you to march around the city 6 times, once every day for 6 days. And then I want you on the 7th day to march around it seven times. And when you do that, I'm going to bring the walls down." So I'm sitting there in the middle of this conversation with God, and He says, here's what I want you to do. If you want to actually experience the power that I'm talking about, so I want you to get up, I want you to walk around this city with me, and I want you to pray for the walls to fall. I want you to pray for the walls to fall. And you begin to move forward in faith that I'm going to do something powerful along this waterfront. My challenge to you as we go through the next 2 weeks, for every single one of us, I want you to set aside time to walk around this city. To walk around this city or the city that you live in, and to pray for the walls to fall. If you live in Jersey City, walk around your neighborhood. It'll take you 3 days to walk around your city. To pray for the walls to fall. And to make a commitment to God as you go into this fall. And no matter what He calls you into, no matter what He asks you to do, you will not allow the circumstance of it to overwhelm you. But you will be so overwhelmed by what He's done through His Son and inside of our family, inside of your life, that you will follow no matter what. that you will move forward on the promise and power that we've been talking about through this entire year, so that you can eventually, like Caleb, know what it's like to live a life of faith that's based on experience power. This is my challenge to you as we go into the fall. May our perspective shift. And may we experience everything that God is calling us into. And the beauty of what He wants to do. As you guys go out today, I encourage you to make that decision, to make that commitment, to do that over the next 2 weeks as an individual, as a dinner group, as a family, whatever it may be. You'll walk around your city and pray for the walls to fall.